Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, right here in the northwest region of Arkansas. I begin today in Luke chapter 13, verse 22. And Jesus went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, well, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are what that are last shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. And then afterwards, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, are you saved by grace through faith? Today, do you have the witness in your heart that regardless of where your life may be, that you are saved? And I want you to know one of the most important keys to salvation is knowing that you're forgiven and knowing that you have forgiven yourself and everybody else in your life. Do you realize that salvation, without us forgiving others and ourselves, there is no forgiveness towards us? Do you realize the severity and yet the simplicity of such a reality? You know, our lives can end today as far as this earth is concerned. Our eternal soul will go on forever and ever. The question is, are we going on into eternal life or are we going on into eternal death? And thank God, through Jesus Christ, we receive the eternal Spirit of God, which is eternal life, and therein do we rejoice. But do we really have eternal life if we're not forgiving others? if we're not forgiving others? Do we really have eternal life? Can you today examine your heart and say, beyond the shadow of a doubt, I have forgiven myself fully, and I have forgiven everyone that has ever sinned against me or done me wrong. I forgive them, and it's not just a mental assent. I have searched it out. I have been willing. I choose to do what is right before God, because I realize that if I don't forgive myself or others, I am not forgiven, regardless of the mighty work that was accomplished on the cross 2,000 years ago. Is there any bitterness? Is there any resentment? Is there any anger? Is there any envy or jealousy? All those spirits are connected to the root of unforgiveness. It is time to let it all go. It is late in the hour, and we have a journey ahead of us that's going to require that we are pure of heart, that we have clear minds, and that we could walk in the integrity and the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the darkest storms that will hit the face of the earth. Politically, we know that there is a great move through propaganda and all the mechanisms of the media and the industry that are like that to tell people everything is okay. Folks, when you look through the biblical lens, everything is not okay. And I want to give you just one example. One quick example before I move forward here. And before doing that, maybe what I'll do is do this with Brother Daniel. He's calling in from Australia. So go. Let's take our call this morning. Good morning, Brother Daniel. How are you today, sir? And how are things going in Australia?
G'day, mate. Doing quite well. Things here in Australia are pretty good. Not as much of a ruckus of what's going on there in America, but yeah, still pretty good.
And you called me mate.
It was going to happen sooner or later, Pastor Vincent.
I know. Hello, mate. I love that. Well, there is a ruckus going on. And which particular ruckus are you referring to going on here in the United States?
Oh, gee, I mean, what could I begin with? I mean, there's a lot going on in regard to Trump has basically authorized the Department of Justice to go after the Obama administration officials in regard to the leaks that are going on. So that's going to be very interesting in watching how that at play. So get your popcorn out. Things could really hit the fan in regard to that. Some of the people that could be implicated would be former National Security James Clapper. There could be John Brennan, the former director of the CIA. There's a lot of different people who could be dragged into this, and some of them could very well end up being prosecuted. There's a lot going on in regard to the left in America. There now, one of the interesting things that happened is that Barack and Michelle Obama have signed on to Netflix, which is interesting. And basically what they will be doing is will be helping to shape their content, which really is alarming considering, you know, how far left Barack Obama leans towards, which would probably mean that a lot of conservative content that's on the platform could very much see its last day very soon. Another thing too is Spotify is a music sharing platform, have also just announced that they are partnering with a leftist organization who is also going to help to shape their content. So this is all very disturbing. So basically what's happening with, like, we're seeing video content providers along with music content providers who are partnering with leftist organizations. And by the way, Spotify is actually partnering with the Southern Poverty Law Center. So if you know anything about them, they are very much a very virulent. Yeah. I mean, you would know about them for sure. Very, very anti-conservative, anti-Christian organization. So, again, this is the long march through the institutions, and it hasn't slowed down one bit. They are doing their best to infiltrate every platform, every institution, every organization, every committee that they can possibly get into to have an influence. And what are the Conservatives doing? Well, the Conservatives are busy watching the cartoons on Saturday morning. You know, we have no idea that they that while we are sleeping and having our time and the fun, they are arming themselves to the teeth. And it's only when they fire their first shots over our bow do we realize that we are completely unarmed and unprepared. But this is what's going on at the moment. They are marching forward. This is the long march through the institutions. And as each week goes by, there's new news of different beachheads that they've captured. So, yeah, this is where we're up to.
Yeah, it's huge. And you think about Barack and Michelle Obama, they just refuse to go away. It reminds me of Bill Clinton and his global network that he had. And he and Obama were a part of that. And so it is. And I want to bring something up that you have talked about on this radio broadcast for quite some time. And you were the one that enlightened us to a book written by Cleon Skousen about the 45 planks of communism, I believe. And this is a very disturbing report right here, Daniel. Let me just read this quickly and have you comment on it, okay? Four ways that pornography is destroying America's children. Now, this is not just some, you know, outgrowth of something. This is very projected. It's an agenda. It's purposeful. And here's the article. The increase of pornography use and addiction among adults is a growing concern around the world. Sadly, it is far worse for today's children who are growing up in a fully connected world. Porn is devastating an entire generation of young people. According to Childline founder Dame Esther Rantzen, quote, young people are turning to the internet to learn about sex and relationships. We know they are frequently stumbling across porn, often unintentionally, and they are telling us very clearly that this is having a damaging and upsetting effect on them. So many students report that the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography is at 11 years old. But security technology company Bitdefenders research states that children under the age of 10 now comprise 22% of online pornography viewing for youth under 18 years old. The under 10-year-old group now accounts for 1 in 10 visitors to porn video sites. And I could go on with this article. It's very long. I don't want to do that. But Daniel, it sounds like there is a growing crisis among the young children in America and around the world. And you brought out the fact that this is part of the communist, this is part of the left, this is part of the socialist agenda to actually destroy the fabric of our society, which was family and a moral righteousness being destroyed and corrupted to further that agenda as they march through the institution. Speak into that, please.
Well, what you're actually talking about is rule number actually, it's point number 25. So point number 25 says, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books. In fact, before I go on, I just need to mention to people what I'm talking about. The book that I'm referring to is a book written by Cleon Skousen called The Naked Communist. Cleon Skousen was an ex-FBI agent who, and during his time with the FBI, he basically sat in on these communist different, how would you say, meetings. He wiretapped their communications and basically listened in to what they were doing and what they were organizing. And so out of his, I think he was with the FBI, I think approximately, pretty sure about 20 years, but during his time that he was with the FBI, when he retired, he wrote a book called The Naked Communist, which is basically exposing their agenda with what their goals are. So in his book, he put together 45 communist goals, 45 communist goals, and these were read into the Congressional Record in 1963. So these current goals are absolutely hair-raising if you were to read them into how they have played out in today's society. So I highly encourage you to actually Google the 45 Goals from the Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. So number 25 is Break Down Cultural Standards of Morality by Promoting Pornography and Obscenity in Books, Magazines, Motion Pictures, Radio, and TV. Now, this was back in the 1950s, okay? This was back in the 1950s that they were saying this. Now, you would have thought it would have been absolutely ridiculous that America would ever go down this path. But sure enough, after the sexual revolution of the 1960s and 1970s, America is now on this path where it's in a moral freefall. A moral freefall, falling away from biblical morality. And now, you know, people talk about pornography like they're referring to a movie that they've seen on the weekend. Pornography has become so mainstream within the national conversation, which is extremely alarming. The fact that they are now talking with, Stormy Daniels and like it's America really wants to listen to this woman. It's just like incredible. Remember what Jesus said, consider the height from which you have fallen. Consider the height from which you have fallen. And porn is a major, major problem in America. And I would say this, and this breaks my heart to say it, but it's even a major problem within the church. Porn has managed to find its way into all these institutions that really should be the bedrock of our society. And because it has infiltrated into institutions that are the bedrock of society, it has white-handed these institutions. And many of them that were once the pillars of our society have become white-handed and have become compromised. So porn has been infiltrating everywhere, and they are trying to push it in the schools because this is one of the number one things that gets people off biblical morality. That one of the number one enemies of the left, the thing that they want to attack the most, is biblical morality. Because biblical morality ensures that people are not dependent upon the state. See, leftists want people to be dependent upon the state, to be dependent upon the government. And there are two things that stand in the way of that, two institutions, and that's the institution of the family and the institution of the church. Because both those institutions, if someone is well connected with those institutions, the chances are they're not going to be dependent upon the government. They're not going to have any need or any desire to want to go to the government. But if you take away the church and you take away the family, you know, if a person can't look to their church, if a person can't find support from their family, then they have no other place to go to but the government. And the government is more than willing to cater to them because the corrupt leftists who are power hungry, they want votes, they want power. This is why they want these people to be taken away from biblical morality and to come to the government and to come and to give them their power. That's what they want. This is why they want to attack Christian morality with so much venom and vehemency. So they want a society that is completely devoid of biblical values and moral principles. And a lot of this goes back to a guy called Gorgi Lukács, who was a Hungarian communist, and he was basically understood that the most effective way to attack Christianity is to introduce immorality and to push all the perversities such as, you know, pornography and pansexuality and all those kinds of things. So this is why they want to attack biblical morality with so much venom. And I will read you another very, very interesting quote. And this is actually by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And he wrote this in his book, The Gulag Archipelago. And that's a landmark book if you want to understand the end game of the totalitarian left. See, Alexander Solzhenitsyn actually survived the Soviet slave labor camps that were known as gulags. He survived them, and he wrote a book that has become probably the most important piece of literature to understand what it's actually like to go through a totalitarian state. So this is what he says. He says, the world has never known before a godlessness as organized, militarized, and tenaciously malevolent as that preached by Marxism. He said, within the philosophical system of Marx and Lenin, at the heart of their psychology, hatred of God is the principal driving force, more fundamental than all their political and economic pretensions. Militant atheism is not merely incidental or marginal policy. It is not a side effect, but the central pivot. Now, I've read that to you before on the program, but I didn't read the rest of the quote, which is really important. It's this. He says this. To achieve its diabolical ends, communism needs to control a population devoid of religious and national feeling. And this entails a destruction of faith and nationhood. Communists proclaim both of these objectives openly and just as openly put them into practice. Interesting, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely huge. I mean, just the understanding, and maybe someone out there is listening saying, yeah, we've heard this before. But, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, and understanding also, you know, dawns on us like the rising of the sun on a new day. And to our listeners out there today, we need to go through these things again, because we need to understand that this is a purposeful satanic agenda that is succeeding, much like it succeeded in the Garden of Eden. And Daniel, I was thinking as you were talking about Adam and Mrs. Adam standing in the beautiful garden of the Lord at the beginning of time, and the devil came as an angel of light, as a crafty speaker, a smooth talker, and his whole agenda was to separate man from his creator through sin.
Yes.
And then to create immoral societal conditions, and to do that also through corruption and to defile every holy institution. And you go back to the Garden of Eden and you ask, well, what was the holy institution of God? And it was marriage. That's what he brought through, and family. Okay. And so what is being attacked today is both marriage and abortion,
and
the birthing of a family, right? So my thought here is that the devil works through quote-unquote angel of light ministries or angel of light mechanisms or the left. I mean, you look at Joe Biden, you look at Barack Obama. You had so many people following Barack Obama. Now, he claimed to have two children. He was married to a woman, but yet he was attacking the very institution of marriage and destroying the birth rate of our children through promoting, you know, Planned Parenthood and abortion and all these things. You know, so the devil works through people, the left, whatever we want to call them, communism, Marxism, and they always seem to have an appeal to the masses to some degree. Isn't that rather satanic?
Yes, it is. And I'll read you another part of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, because he talks about what you were just saying. This is what he says. He says, communism has never concealed the fact that it rejects all absolute concepts of morality. It scoffs at any consideration of good and evil as indisputable categories. Communism considers morality to be relative, to be a class matter. Depending upon circumstances and the political situation, any act, including murder, even the killing of thousands, could be good or could be bad. Isn't that chilling?
Oh, it is. It's chilling. And also, as you were speaking, I was thinking along those lines how the spiritual agenda, the satanic spiritual agenda through these institutions or these mechanisms that are marching through all the institutions to bring them into this confused state of immorality.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting that they the spirits are literally wearing down the saints? And in the book of Daniel, we're actually told that the enemy wear out the saints. And what I mean by that, Daniel, is that the voice of the prophets in our generation, and would to God they were all of God's people, but the voice of morality, the voice of holiness, the voice of Yahweh, the voice of Yeshua, the voice of God and our Father and the Holy Spirit, that many in today's church are succumbing to this power that is manipulating the minds of the masses and is stifling the voice or the passion to burst out of this satanic bubble that everybody's being consumed into. And very few people have any spiritual desire left to stand up and fight. There's a wearing out going on. Do you sense that?
Yeah, absolutely. And remember what Jesus said. He said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Yeah, and the love of most growing cold and the wearing down of the saints, it goes hand in hand. You know, we many of us today feel like a spiritual tiredness. We feel like a spiritual lethargy. We feel like a we're just exhausted. Like I know of a bunch of friends, and like a year ago, they were very passionate about taking a stand on particular issues, but now they've just gone very, very quiet. It's almost as if they just can't be bothered to say anything anymore, because they feel as if, you know, they just don't have the strength, the stamina to keep on fighting anymore, to keep on taking a stand anymore. So they now have just become quiet, have disappeared into the background, which is really, really sad. But Jesus warned that this would happen. He warned that, you know, because there will be an increase of wickedness. Jesus said that there will be two types of society that we can expect that proceeding when he comes back. He said, as it will be in the days of Noah. And he also said, it shall just be as it was in the days of Lot. So we know both of those societies were extremely wicked. In fact, in Genesis chapter 6, you read the saddest verse in the entire, where it says that, and God regretted that he had made mankind. You know, and when you read in the story of Sodom, it says that Sodom's sin became grievous, extreme in its nature, that he had then decided to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities. So we are living in these particular times where the sin has been piled up to heaven, which is so, you know, and this is why we see also too, Pastor Vincent, where we see in Revelation 17, where we talk about Mystery Babylon. Now, Mystery Babylon has three names on its forehead. The first one is Babylon the Great. The second one is the mother of all prostitutes or mother of all harlots. And the third thing is the abominations of the earth. So again, the first thing is the Babylon the Great. The second thing is the mother of all prostitutes. The third thing is the abominations of the earth. Well, when you talk about Babylon the Great, we are talking about a society that is the Babylon of all Babylons. The Babylon of all Babylons. So it's kind of like you take all the previous pagan societies and roll them up into one. That's exactly what you are to expect with this last day's pagan society. And we are witnessing that happen right before our eyes. You know, the abominations of the earth. I mean, we're living in it right now. All the most the abhorrent abominations that you could ever possibly imagine are being not only practiced but celebrated at the moment. So we are living in a time where we have got Babylon all around us. And what I think is particularly interesting, we're finding it more so in all the major cities. And this is a biblical principle, you know, right from where when Lot went down to the plains of Zoar and he pitched his tent in Sodom. Or it is a biblical principle that cities are the very bastions of of wickedness, and I would even say the spirit of globalism. You know, this is where we fight. This is what the whole story of Babel was all about. So with all these particular nations that all come together and blend together and practice sin and flaunt sin. And as we read in Revelation 16, we read that this particular prostitute who basically sits by many waters, a lot of these different major cities where you have the spirit of globalism and the spirit of Babylon is all around, it all sits on all these waters, everywhere, you know, you name it. This is not by mistake. This is all part of what God was saying. This is the last days confrontation with the Babylon of all Babylon. And this is where the pagan civilization out of all pagan civilizations will be dealt with. And what is God going to use to deal the final blow to this emergence of paganism? Well, he's raising up a type of... He's basically, this is what is the prostitute riding on? The prostitute is riding on a beast, and she's completely oblivious to the fact that this beast that she is riding on is going to eventually turn on her and devour her. And so this is very interesting times that we're living in, Pastor Vincent.
Well, they are interesting times, and that's why there is a call, come out of her, my people, before the destruction is felt. And again, I know that you have an understanding, and I believe it's an accurate understanding, about you cannot separate your faith from politics. However, when we talk about maintaining godly fervor, we're not just talking about political fervor, because sometimes people can get so,
and
become hot for politics that they lose their godly fervor. And according to what you just said,
correct,
Daniel, the enemy's mockery of morality is a planned attack to cause the people to back off and back down from their spiritual stance, making them to feel foolish to be so contrary to what the rest of the world desires and believes. And so, well, we can maintain a political stance, make America great again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There is the loosening or the lessening of the spiritual power within an individual who's been born again to uphold the kingdom of God and to advance the kingdom of God to become more tepid, to become more lukewarm, which is a very dangerous position in the body of Christ to be a lukewarm Christian. So this is all a very planned, calculated attack to shut up and silence the voice of God's people. And the Bible does say in Revelation 13, Daniel, that the time will come the enemy will be victorious over the saints. And I believe that that 3.5 year victory is actually bringing a silence to the majority of Christians in our world.
That is correct. Now, the book of Daniel makes it very clearly that the saints will be handed over to the Antichrist for a time, times, and half a time. You know, and so that's very clear within Scripture that we need to understand that. But you raise a really, really good point, because we must absolutely keep our focus on Jesus. That is absolutely paramount. The moment that we then begin to shift and put our focus on politics, we get out of balance and we lose our effectiveness. Now, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. The moment you detach yourself from that vine, you will wither away and you will be completely ineffective. We have to make sure that we are attached to the vine and keep our eyes on Jesus, because we cannot go about chasing fruit. We must be focused all on the root of our salvation. You know, we need to keep ourselves connected into Jesus, keeping our eyes on Jesus, head over heels in love with Jesus. And out of that comes the fruit. The fruit comes from the nutrients from the root. And the fruit is our actions, you know, and it's the outworking of our faith. Because Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Now, salt, you know, it's a bit of a pity because we live in our modern world, because we have mainly understood salt to be a flavor thing. You know, we add salt to our dishes, we add it onto our meals, you know, and the contemporary Christian will think, oh, yeah, as Christians, we're just meant to flavor things up, you know, to make things a little bit more tasty. No, not not if you were to consider the use of salt in the ancient world. The use of salt in the ancient world was mainly used as a preservative, to preserve meat, to prevent it from spoiling, to as an anti. Help me, Vincent.
As an anti-rotting agent
to prevent things. You got it. That's it. What I was looking for. An anti-decaying agent. And that's what Christians do. When Christians come into a society, we prevent the society from falling into moral decay. And it's the natural outworking of our faith. Because you might remember what I said before, Vincent, what happens when the church loses its voice. When the church loses its voice, when the church loses its voice, the world loses its conscience. When the church loses its voice, the world loses its conscience.
You know, and what is it that causes the church to lose its voice? When we capitulate, when we compromise, when we become okay with things that are going on in this world. And like you said, if there's something wrong in the world, the church is supposed to be there, the ecclesia, to shout out and say, this is wrong. And because of the church's silence, we now say bitter is sweet, sweet is bitter, darkness is light, light is darkness, good is evil is good. And now we have homosexual marriages, we have abortion, and it's all good. It's normal because the voice of the church, the people of God, did not make the voice of God heard everywhere they went. And then when they did, that calculated move of the devil to make their voice a mockery, to laugh at it, to scoff at it, to make them feel foolish about even saying such a horrible thing that abortion's wrong and homosexuality's wrong. We're going to create laws to tell you that you can't even do that. You're so wrong. And yet the church is capitulated, and therein is the danger.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, Vincent, because what's happened is because a lot of the church is now coming out and saying that this sin is okay, we, you know, those of us who are of the remnant, those are of us who are of the true church who say, don't do that, that's wicked, it's against God, they say, well, we're not going to listen to you because the other part of the church is saying it's okay. So we're going to keep practicing it, and we're going to keep doing it. And who are you? You're just a minority of the church. Go away. We're going to listen to this part of the church that's telling us that it's okay. And as a result of the compromise, and more of the church compromises, the more the world will be emboldened by its sin and will pursue it even more harder and more passionately. Once the more that they see the church approving of it. So,
well, think about that, Daniel. If, you know, if the world looks at a leader like Barack Hussein Obama or any other leader that says, you know what, our government tells us it's okay to murder babies, there must be a political cause for it. Our government tells us it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry women. That's one thing. But when the church, like you just said, says it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry women and to have abortion and to actually support it, I mean, my God, the people of the world, especially those on the fence, are going to go, well, then if the government says it's okay and church leaders say it's okay, even one church leader says it's okay, well, then my God, it must be okay.
Yeah.
There is the funk, man. That is horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I want to read to you something by Walter E. Williams, his name is. Just one second. But he actually says it because we're really living in a time where the state is now basically determining what's right and wrong, what is actually morally good and what is morally bad, you know, because we are now living in a post-Christian society where we have now abandoned Christian values. So who gets to decide what's right and wrong? Well, the state is deciding now what's right and wrong, which is a major concern. But Walter E. Williams says this. He says, how does something immoral when done privately become moral when it is done collectively? Furthermore, does legality establish morality? Slavery was legal. Apartheid is legal. Stalinist, Nazi, and Maoist purges were legal. Clearly, the fact of legality does not justify these crimes. Legality alone cannot be the talisman of a moral. So it is not the laws. It is not state that determines these things. And this is what the state absolutely loves when it gets into this position. And this is why, you know, there is no law higher than the state and there is no appeal against it. You know, so we understand that we get our laws and our direction and our morality from God, and it's objective morality. It's right independent of human opinion. This is to go to say that even if Nazi Germany won Second World War and succeeded in basically capturing all of Europe and dominating the world, that their hatred and their murder of the Jews will still be morally wrong, even though the Nazis declared that it was right. So this is the whole concept of morality, and the fact that morality is objective is the number one enemy of the left. The enemy is fighting tooth and nail to fight against our Christian morality because it wants to be the ones that calls the shots. Now, I'll just read you just quickly another. This is by Karl Marx. Karl Marx said this. He said, communism abolishes eternal truths. It abolishes all religion and all morality. Interesting. So you can understand the satanic ploy, the satanic workings behind all these movements at the moment.
It is. And Daniel, just imagine if somebody, let's say you're a father, you have children, and that is the truth, and you're counseling them, you're training them up in your house, you're telling them about, you know, when your sister does you wrong, when your brother does you wrong, you need to forgive. And you need to, you know, walk in love. And yet somebody comes along to your children outside the house and tells them, oh, no, you have every right to be bitter towards what your brother or sister did to you or your friend did to you. You have every right to be angry. You have every right to not forgive them. Mm. And you have a right to carry that grudge. And they instill that against your own counsel. And more importantly, the counsel of God, which is the instruction you're giving. Well, that's when people tell us to do or tell us it's okay to do contrary to God's word. You've got to run. You've got to run for your life. And the world is right now on the stage, and they are shouting into every home through television, through computers, through radio. They're shouting, telling everybody in the world it's okay to unbind yourself from this, you know, this institutionalized religion. It is okay to let yourself go, to break the bands of morality and be what you are, a human being with passions and desires and lust of the things of the world. Forget about this nonsense of, and that's, they may not say it directly, I think some do, but that's exactly what they're shouting through their sitcoms and their daily programs and the mind control and the mental conditioning that's going on everywhere. Let it rip. Stop being so holier than thou or self-righteous. Knock off the religious thing and come on, look at us. We're partying like never before. Join the party. Let's go. That's dangerous.
Yeah, yes, it is. And a lot of people need to understand that that leftism is not so much about economic policies as you understand with socialism. Behind leftism, with Marxism, it's all an attitude of envy. It's an attitude of envy, and you need to understand that there is a rage, and this is the thing. You know, they go on so much about social justice, but they don't really have social justice in their hearts. What they have in their hearts is rage and revenge. because they will tell you that they're all about defending the rights of those of the oppressed. But that's not the heart of it. They are basically looking at those who are more successful than them, those who are who have become made a success of their life, and they say it isn't fair. It isn't fair that they have that big house. It isn't fair that they have, you know, all these great things. It isn't fair. It isn't fair. Therefore, I'm going to bring them down and make them equal with me. Okay? But they won't tell you that. What they'll say is, oh, no, no, no. We want to take the downtrodden and we want to lift them up so that they're equal with everybody else. That's what they will tell you. But the reality is they want to tear everyone down and bring them equal with themselves. Now, I'm going to read you, this is Marx saying this. He wrote this in a poem called Human Pride. And this is what he says. He says, with disdain, I will throw my gauntlet full in the face of the world and see the collapse of this pygmy giant whose fall will not stifle my ardor. Then will I wander godlike and victorious through the ruins of this world, and giving my words an active force, I will feel equal to the Creator. Wow.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's Marx. Now let me read this to you. This is Isaiah 14, and let you see if you can find any commonalities with this. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly and the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. In hearing what Karl Marx said in his poem, can't you hear the satanic boast of being equal with God?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that comes out of Isaiah concerning Lucifer. I mean, it is the same spirit. It is the spirit of Lucifer that is in operation. Daniel,
yes.
As we approach the end of our broadcast here, as we're coming down to the finish line and we have one more fast running race to do, what I'm hearing, if I were to put today's conversation into an understanding of what the Spirit of God is saying to us and saying to those that are tuned in and listening right now, I really believe that God is saying, and I'm going to read this out of Luke chapter 12, along with everything you've just said, in verse 45, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him and at an hour when he is not aware and will cut him asunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now, what I'm hearing God say to his people, when someone comes up to you and says, or the world says to you, it's okay to watch pornography. It's okay to commit adultery. It's okay to steal. It's okay to lie. It's okay, you know, to break the commandments of God. It's okay. That normally comes at a time when people are waning in their passion. They kind of feel a little dull. They feel a little empty. Mm. And so they're looking for some enticement, some excitement. They're looking for something to bolster them up. And so it's the attack of the enemy to get them to move in a direction. And that lifestyle will promote what we just read about here. People will begin to eat, be drunken, and do all these nasty things. And what's happening? It's costing the soul of the person and the people around that are watching.
Yeah, that's right. And see, when you're living in a society where the church is very active in society, the people live very differently. You know, the people do not really bow down to the they're not more willing to actually pursue immorality with the church is strong in its influence within that particular community. You know, it's interesting, Pastor Vincent, because I saw a cartoon that was actually put together by this man called Adam, I don't know his surname, but anyway, he's got a really good, his website is adam4d.com, and he put out this cartoon, and in the cartoon, it had four squares, right, four squares, and right. In the top left, it said 30 years ago, and there's a man who says, the Bible is the word of God, and I believe what it says, and the other man says, me too, brother, and then it says, 15 years ago, and the man says, the Bible is the word of God, and I believe what it says. And then the guy says, whatever. Then today, the man says, the Bible is the word of God, and I believe what it says. And this other guy says, bigot. And then it says, how long? With a question mark. And the man says, the Bible is the word of God, and I believe what it says. And then there's a police officer that says, hate speech.
Hmm. Mm. Amen.
So
that's the reality.
This is the reality. Now, that cartoon, so crystal clear, illustrates the trajectory in which we are heading at the moment. Now, let me read you Matthew 29, verses 9 to 13. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved.
Well, amen to that. And, you know, this is such an important topic because, you know, we've heard it before, but I'm going to ask everybody listening to the broadcast right now, hear these words loud and clear. These are from the Word of God. This is from the Holy Spirit. Good works are not enough. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood where there was mafia around, and a lot of you have been around places where even the mafia did good works. But listen, it wasn't enough. You may belong to the Elks Lodge. You may belong to some Masonic order, and you do a bunch of good works, and you think, you know, my good works are appeasing my conscience. Listen, good works could never take the place of godly character. Every single one of us are being called to a transformed life. We are being called to put on Christ, put off the old man, put on the new man, walk in the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit. This is our calling to grow up into Jesus Christ, to be conformed into his image and his likeness. And the idea of doing good works, satisfying something, is an error. It is not true. It doesn't matter how many missionaries America sent to the nations of the earth. It won't matter, for when the righteous man sins, his righteousness will be remembered no more, according to the word of God in Ezekiel. So it is imperative. And Daniel, I think you were just pressing in on a real point right now, and I felt the weight of it as you were speaking about this coming persecution, because I believe that we are being set up right now for a suddenly, and I really believe there's a strong possibility that the month of June is going to spell doom for cities in America. And I don't know exactly what that means or how that looks, but I'm very concerned. You have the president dealing with MS-13, Iran, provocative around the world with these decisions to bring the embassy to Jerusalem, on and on and on. There's provocative potential trigger points all over the world. And I'm just thinking June gloom. I don't know.
It could be, you know, I mean, and here's the thing, we need to be living ready. We need to be living ready. And I was only just mentioned talking about this with my extended family earlier this evening, because they were asking me, you know, what do you think was the whole, you know, I was talking to them what I felt was God's purpose in me going to the United States. And there were, again, there was two aspects to that, and that was to warn and to inform. So the informed part, I guess, is obvious, you know, talking about the different things that we've been, that God has put on my heart. But the other aspect was to warn the church, to warn them, to let them know that, that America is going to be chastised. And again, I hate saying that because I love America and I love Americans, but America will be chastised. Now, will all of America be punished? No, I don't believe so. I believe there will be sections of America that will come under judgment and other sections will be spared. But I think we need to prepare our hearts. We've got to get our hearts ready, because if our hearts are very much invested in the things of this world, then we will be very, very disillusioned and dismayed and disheartened when all this thing comes to a head. But,
amen.
But if our hearts are set on...
I apologize, and I hate to interrupt the flow, but we got a few minutes left, and I just looked over at our calling screen. There's someone online that wants to talk with us, so let's bring on this phone call real quick from area code 479-586. Good morning. Sorry for the delay. Don't know how long you've been there, but welcome to the broadcast.
Well, we've been here since the beginning, Pastor and Daniel. Hope everything's going well with you, brother, over in the Down Under. This is Michael.
Thanks, brother.
Carmen and Sean. And
hi, guys.
Sean's saying hi to you, Daniel.
Hi.
And
hi, Sean.
Sean was reading in Isaiah this morning, Pastor, and I glanced over at what he was reading, and it goes along with what you're saying. In Isaiah 63 and 7, it says, "I recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praise of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness of the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of a steadfast love. For he, surely, they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior, and in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. And in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and he carried them all the days of old. But," and here's what you guys have been talking about, "but they rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy." And that's up exactly what you guys have been talking about this morning.
Yeah, amen, Michael. Amen.
And that is the turning point. You know, that's how things get turned around. And again, that scripture in Ezekiel that goes right along with that, that the day that the righteous man turns away from his righteousness will be remembered no more, but he will suffer the judgment and the consequences. And so, yes, we maintain our course today, ladies and gentlemen. We maintain our course in declaring and decreeing that the same God yesterday, today, and forever is not winking, he is not blind, he is not sleeping, he is not ignoring what has happened in our country and what is happening in nations around the world. And anything we see when we look through the biblical lens is a sign of the times, declaring the second coming of Jesus, and prior to that, the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. And God's people must adjust and be prepared and get equipped for what is coming down the pike. For many, many are going to follow, and he is going to wax cold. Brother Daniel, we've run out of time. A final word from you before we go.
Okay, I just want to read you a quote from Melissa Moschella. Now, she is a pro-life activist, and she said this, and I think it's so impertinent to the times that we are living in. And this is what she said. She said, "Perhaps there are times and places in the history of the world in which it is possible to go through life as just an ordinary good person, a faithful spouse, a loving parent, a concerned citizen, a regular churchgoer, an honest and industrious professional, leading a normal, quiet life, not making waves or standing out in any way, perhaps. But in the United States of America and in the West, in this particular time, is not one of those times or places. Rather, in our contemporary society, the only way to be good is to be heroic. Failing to act with heroism inevitably makes us complicit in grave evils."
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. What a way to go out today. That is absolutely amazing. Brother Daniel, we're down to like 15 seconds. Goodbye. God bless you, my friend. And Get some good rest. We'll be talking with you again real soon. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Seckham calling in from Australia today. We've got to go. We've just simply run out of time. Shalom and God bless.